Welcome, everybody. Merry Christmas. I'm going to teach on sheep and shepherds. So, Don, that was a good lead-in today. How does the Holy Spirit do that? The wind just blows across and all the preachers preach on the same topic. let me see. Do you point at someplace specific?
It's there. Yeah, you're good. And then when you want to change slides, press that right there, the bottom one.
How do you bring it up?
And it's right there.
Oh, I was looking at that thing.
No.
Oh. So back in the olden days when they had newspapers, and the newspapers had want ads, I found a want ad for a sheep herder, and so I cut it out, and I've kept it all these years. I keep it in my Psalms 23 book, and I always wanted to really be a shepherdess, because all the leaders in the Bible, they got their training with sheep. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David. Moses had to go to the backside of a mountain and tend his father-in-law's sheep. David was taken from the sheep coat to be the leader of Israel. And so they learned a lot of lessons taking care of sheep. And why so many things in the Bible about sheep? There were 188 verses about sheep. And that didn't count lambs or flocks. There's a lot in the Bible about sheep. And over again in the Bible, we're likened to sheep. And why are we likened to sheep? Because we have so many fears. Not that we're stupid. I've heard some people say sheep are stupid, but I'm going, don't you know how many times they call us sheep in the Bible? You know, so it's not that we're stupid, it's fearful, and then we make poor choices. This first slide I have here is the want ad for the shepherd that I cut out of the newspaper. And attend sheep grazing on range or pasture, herd sheep using trained dogs, may herd alone or with others, guard flock from predators and from eating poisonous plants, examine animals for signs of illness, administer vaccines, medications, and insecticides, assist on lambing, docking, and shearing, performs other duties incidental to goat/sheep production, on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, transportation to job and subsistence provided, return transportation at the end of the contract, workers' compensation provided, references required, 3 months experience, employment available in all Western states, and minimum wage varies by state. So they get paid very little. And you're going to be there 24/7. You know, in other words, you're going to die to yourself. If you're a shepherd, you're going to die to yourself. Daniel left, and Michael, we didn't give you this list before you came, before you moved here from Taft.
I didn't realize we needed a lineup and we would give everyone a vaccine.
Yeah. Let me see the second slide. Okay, there we go. On the second slide, I wrote God's want ad for a soul shepherd. And you could add a lot more to it than what I have here. But only do what you see the Father do. All things are delivered to you of the Father. They will perceive my love because you lay down your life for them. Teach them to lay down their lives for their brethren. If they persecute you in the city, flee to another city. Blessed are you when men shall hate you and separate themselves from your company. Seek and save that which is lost. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Your sheep will hear your voice and follow. You will separate the sheep from the goats, sheep on the right hand and goats on the left. You will shed your blood on a cruel cross to conquer sin and death for your sheep. Woo! That's our Jesus. When I wrote this, it really affected me, and I started repenting for myself how lightly I had counted what Jesus has done for me. And I started repenting for our nation because, you know, our nation, we have kicked prayer out of our school, no more nativity scenes, no more Ten Commandments in public places. You know, so gradually, it comes on so subtly where we have kicked God out of our country. And so I was repenting for America, too, because on the radio, I hear this advertisement all the time. I always listen to a Christian radio station, and President Reagan was on there and says, we are one nation under God, and if we ever are not under God, then we will go under. Yeah. So I just randomly picked four scriptures out of the Bible that liken people to sheep. And so I'm just going to go through these four scriptures. Hey, woo, that works. The first one is, David spoke unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people and said, lo, I have sinned and I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? And this is I took it out of 1 Chronicles 21:17. It's also in 2 Samuel 24:17. But Satan had stood up against Israel and provoked David to number the people. You know, so David knows God's voice. You know, what is he doing being provoked by Satan? And so God was not happy with it. David's general, Joab, was not happy with it. And so God spoke through Gad the seer to David and said, give David three choices. And all of them are horrible choices. The first one was 3 years of famine, 3 months to destroy all, to be destroyed by your enemies with a sword, or 3 days of the sword of the Lord, even pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the coast of Israel. So choose one of these three, David. Can you imagine having to make that kind of choice for your country? Anyway, you know that our leaders are targets, and we do need to be praying for those in leadership. That's the only way the sheep find rest is if they're in the presence of the shepherd. And so we need to be praying for our leaders, you know, from the pastors all the way to the president of the United States. We need to be praying for our leaders because they are targets. The second scripture I just randomly chose was, thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat and has scattered us among the heathen. And this is in Psalms 44, and there's another verse in there in Psalm 44. For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And this is a battle that Israel lost, and the people were suffering humiliating defeat, and they did not deserve it, and they did not understand it. And they prayed that God would deliver them on the basis of what God did for their fathers. We know that you do this. We know that you favored our fathers and you delivered them in battle. What's happened now? You know, they didn't understand it. And so this is what they call a lament. There's a whole bunch of laments in the Bible, the lamentation. and a lot of the Psalms are laments. And a lament is where you address your complaint to God. Instead of go and tell and everybody and talking about it, do the one who can do the most good. Go to him and complain. He already knows what's in your heart, you know, so he wants you to be in relation. Just go tell him. And then make your requests known, you know. Awake, O Lord. Why are we suffering like this? And then you always bring it back to God, you know, what he's done for you, remembering all the promises that he has completed in your life, and then vow to praise him. You know, those are just four steps, and they're not necessarily in each lament. When we started taking trauma healing into the jails, trauma healing was started over in Uganda, and the people had so much trauma because their children were being stolen and made into child soldiers. They had cutters that would come in the middle of the night and cut off your fingers or whatever limbs, and they didn't have enough food. You know, they were just in a terrible condition, and the pastors over there found out that the people can't pay attention when you're preaching the word to them if they have all this trauma going on. So you have to take care of the trauma first. And so they got together with the American Bible Institute and Christian counselors and pastors over there, and they came up with this program, and it really started changing the people so that they could have some rest and peace and could listen to the word of God and get it down in their hearts. But one of the things that we did in trauma healing was write a lament. And, you know, give your complaint to God. And specifically say what you're requesting. And then always bring it back to the promises God has fulfilled. You know, always bring it back to God. And then in this class also, we came up with, they have invisible paper that when you stick it in water, it disappears. And so all the people going through this course and writing laments, they would write down all the things that they needed to be forgiven for, and for the opposite, for them to ask for forgiveness. They'd write it on this paper, and most places they just would burn it, but in jail they don't let you start fires. So we used this disappearing paper, and we stuck it in the water, and they would go up there and put their list in the water and stir, and it would disappear. And it was just a visual for what God does for us. He takes all that trauma. He takes all that suffering, and when we confess and ask for forgiveness, then he's quick to forgive. And so the third scripture I chose was, like sheep, they're up here, the third one, like sheep they are laid in the grave, death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from dwelling. Psalm 49:14. You go, what's this all about? Doesn't sound like the Christmas story. But the wealthy were boasting of their wealth, and then God gets after him and says, you know, which one of you can redeem your brother? Which one can you even redeem yourself with all your silver and gold? The price of a soul is costly. And God let his son go to a cross and shed his blood for us. And the blood of Jesus is the rarest commodity ever known to man. And you can't purchase one drop of his blood, but that's what God paid for your soul and for you to be able to come back into his holy presence and live eternally. And so that's what this, you can't depend on what you have. You know, you can't depend on your good looks. You can't depend on, everyone is going to die. The statistics are really high that we're all going to die. So, you know, what can you depend on? You can depend on that shed blood that was shed for you on the cross. And you can't purchase one drop of it, no matter how rich you are. And the fourth scripture that I chose that liken us to sheep is, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. And here, you probably know this is in Exodus when the Israelites were rescued from Egypt. And they spent 40 years in the wilderness wandering. Why? Because they murmured and they complained over and over. We hate this white bread. We, you know, we don't have water. You brought us out here to kill us and to kill our babies. And so 40 years, God was grieved. I'm just going to go ahead and read the whole psalm here. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great king above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is also his. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. God had promised them the promised land, and they wouldn't trust him. You know, they murmured, they complained, they whined. They said, you brought us out here to kill us. You're going to kill our babies. And God said, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to leave your carcasses here in the wilderness, but I'll take your babies into the promised land. And so that's what he did. And so my thing on sheep is that they're fearful. And, you know, when I first came in here today, I ran into the guys in the prayer room, say, pray for me. I'm anxious. And so we are so much like sheep. Let me do the next slide here. Oh, I'm always surprised when technology works for me. So fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that fails not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupts. For where your treasure is, there will your heart also be. And the rest of it is, or the rest of that same in Luke 12 is, you must be ready. Let your loins be girt about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, that they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find them watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And so fear not, little flock. You know, we're going to have to remember, fear not, little flock, in the days that are coming ahead. Now, I preach on sheep a lot. I don't know. I want to be a shepherdess, I guess. But in the Bible story, there's a pattern in the Christmas story, with each of the individuals telling their parts of God's salvation plan. First, an angel or a person is dispatched, and the angel always has to say, fear not. And then there's the good tidings of great joy, and then people start getting filled with the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. I know ghosts are scary. That's what I've been told. I had a little girl, I said, we're going to learn about, you know, our God, our Father, and Jesus and the Holy Ghost. He goes, I don't like ghosts. So, Holy Spirit, I'll try to say that. And then God gives the power through the Holy Spirit. to be able to prophesy, to speak boldly, and to do the hard things that he's bid the person to do. Zacharias, the angel was dispatched. Zacharias was troubled, and the angel, this is the angel Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and he said to Zacharias, "Fear not. You will have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at the birth of your son, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord and be filled with the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb." At the birth of John the Baptist, Zechariah is filled with the Holy Ghost. His father's filled with the Holy Ghost. John shall be called the prophet of the highest, and he starts prophesying to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. And then the angel is dispatched to Mary, Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. Mary was troubled, and the angel says, "Fear not. Good tidings, thou hast found favor with God. The Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. The holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God." And Mary prophesies, "God's mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." And then Elizabeth, Mary is dispatched to Elizabeth, and who has conceived in her old age, and the angel told her about, your cousin Elizabeth is pregnant in her old age. Is anything too hard for God? No. I asked Kenny if we could have babies in our 70s. He said no. He said no right away. I'm going, oh, okay. I guess I can't have sheep either then, huh? But Elizabeth says, "The Lord has taken away my reproach from among men." At Mary's salutation, the baby John in her womb leaps for joy, and both baby and Elizabeth are filled with the Holy Ghost. And with a loud voice, Elizabeth said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And then Joseph, Mary's espoused, the angel is dispatched to him in a dream. The angel has to say, "Fear not." And good tidings, it's okay to take Mary as your wife. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. You shall call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sin. And then Joseph had the boldness to do what God bid him to do. This just man had the power to do as the angel told him, to take Mary, that wasn't his kid. But he had the boldness to do it, and he was a just man, and so he did. He did righteousness in the sight of God. And then after Jesus is born, there's a man named Simeon, and Joseph and Mary are dispatched to the temple to have Jesus circumcised. Good tidings. It was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not die until he has seen the Lord's Christ. This just and devout man was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And he prophesied, he took the baby in his arms and blessed God, "For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." And then Anna, a prophetess, in her old age, served God with fasting and prayer night and day in the temple. And coming in at the same instant and seeing Simeon hold baby Jesus, she gave thanks and spread the tidings of great joy to all Jerusalem who looked for redemption. And then the wise men a star was dispatched to the wise men, and then there were good tidings. When the star stood over where the young child was, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. They fell down and worshiped him who was born, King of the Jews. And I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is called Christ the Lord. And so you know, there's the part of the story where Herod comes in and he's troubled. You know, I'll just read it to you. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Herod was very anxious. "What do you mean, born king of the Jews? I'm king." Envy always murders. And that King Herod set out to destroy this newborn king, whoever he was. And it says, Herod orders all the children murdered in Bethlehem and the coast nearby that were 2 years old and under. And you know, I always thought it was the male children, because when Moses was a baby, it was just the male children. I always thought it was the male children, but it says Herod ordered all the children murdered in Bethlehem. Ooh. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "In Ramah, there was a voice, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they were not." So there's always that kind of fear, but God wants you to know who to fear. In Ezekiel 34, he tells you all his I wills, and he goes, don't fear man who can just kill you, but fear God who can both kill you and put you in hell. No, this is who you fear. Fear me, and I am for you. And everything I do, if you read all the I wills there in Ezekiel 31, I will do you this for you, and I will make highways in the desert, and I will do that for you. But what are the I wills of Satan? It's all about him. I will be like the Most High God, and I will sit on the side of the north, and all of you will worship me. It's all about him. And so that's kind of how you tell the difference. You know how David was provoked, Herod was provoked by Satan, but God wants you to know the voice of the Good Shepherd. He wants you to hear. He has righteousness that's imputed to us. And when we just believe on that finished work on the cross, you know, and then we have his imputed righteousness, and we will know his voice. You know, we're not being provoked. If you're being provoked, no, that's the wrong voice. Jesus does not provoke. And the rest of the story that's told in Luke 2, just, I think I have this up here. Oh, nope, I don't. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is called Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told to them. And when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now, we know the end of this story. And like at the birth of Jesus, when Jesus returns, the world will be troubled and there will be fear. But we know whose sheep we are. We also know the end of the story, so we can find rest in the presence of Jesus. And this last slide, these two verses in Revelation, they will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them, for he is Lord of Lords and Kings of Kings. And those with him are called the chosen, are called and chosen and faithful. That's us. Called, chosen, faithful. And the second in Revelation 19:16, on his robe and on his thigh. Preach it, sister, preach it. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so, Father, we just thank you so much for your incredible way of bringing us back into your presence. None of us would ever think of a Savior going to a cross and shedding his blood for us. Thank you, Lord. We just praise you and we thank you that we can come back into your holy presence and we can hear your voice and we will be saved when we accept the finished work, when we accept the blood that was shed for us on the cross, in Jesus' name, amen. I just wanted to tell you one more little thing. I go into the jail and I get four women because one person made it so that you could not go to door to door anymore. There was a lawsuit. And so now they let Max group up. They never used to let anybody in Max group up. You got to go door to door and talk through the door to them. But now I get four women from Max. And when I told them about Jesus shedding his blood for them, this one girl started bawling and she goes, he did that for me. And I go, yes, he did that for you. He did it for me. He did it for all of us. It's all we have to do is believe. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Carol?
Here we go. I'm continuing on our celebration of Advent that Anna so graciously has done the past few weeks. So just a reminder that Advent is a time of holy expectation, of waiting, of preparation for a world filled with the darkness of sin, for the coming of the Christ child. And the word Advent literally means coming. In the four Sundays before Christmas, we prepare our hearts for the season by remembering the birth of Jesus Christ, our Messiah. Three previous Sundays, we focused on his gifts of hope, peace, and joy. Today, I present to you the fourth gift, love. Jesus embodies God's love. At Advent, we light candles to remind ourselves of the light of hope, promise of our salvation, and the demonstration of God's love. Love is caring about others more than ourselves. It is sacrifice. The Bible tells us that God is love. In John 3:16, oops, went out, thank you, 3:17, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that to save the world through him." And then in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So bow your heads with me in prayer. O Lord our God, thank you for your unfailing, steadfast love. Thank you for loving the world enough to die for us. Help us love you with our whole hearts. Help us love others with your great love. Keep us close to your heart as we await your triumphant second coming. We love you. Amen.